The lush Austrian fields and European landscapes below slowly transformed into endless desert. Approaching Iraq, I looked down at the famous 4,000-year-old citadel of Erbil, a lunar crater of stone surrounding city, surrounded by city. For the first time in the project, I felt fear. We were going to land and set up the National Youth Orchestra of Iraq, whether anyone there wanted it or not. With just 1 foot out of the plane, hot desert wind blasted my face, the breath of Allah. More fear. I stepped down onto the tarmac and walked over to the humble arrival building. No going back. There in the doorway stood an earnest lady in white medical garb, mask and headscarf, holding a thermometer. Did I have bird flu? She pressed the instrument against my forehead and cast her sterile gaze at the result. I stood there, frozen, waiting. Was I now feeling a bit ill? With an impartial wave of the hand, I was allowed to proceed. At the border, a friendly officer checked my passport, and the 10-day visa was stamped in. "Welcome to Iraq," he beamed. The absurdity of being welcomed to a war zone hit home. But so far, so good. Angie and I left the terminal back into the desert wind. Two burly, smartly dressed men approached us, neither of whom spoke English. They smiled and handed Angie a phone. It was Nishtaiman, Assistant Director of the British Council, Erbil. We were to get into their Land Rover and be taken to Sulaymaniyah across the desert. On loading up, we sat in the back and began to survey the ground level of the airport, like children on some bizarre adventure. No sooner had the Range Rover left than it pulled up in front of a faceless building, the airport police station. Our guys went in briefly and returned with their checked-in semi-automatic rifle and pistols. Angie later told me this was the single moment of doubt when she wanted to get out and go back to the States. We drove through the desert, past ostentatious houses and rugged huts, chancing upon black shaggy goats by the road. As wonder overtook fear, we both stared wide-eyed at these winter-coated tramps, indifferent to the killer heat. Our driver noticed Angie flashing her iPhone at the creatures to take photos, and slowed down every time we came across any sign of life that was remotely active. We could see that our companions thought this was cute. The desert, intense, jaw-dropping, vast and brutal, conjured up twisters of sand as the raw sun burnt through the tinted windows and onto our virgin skins. Checkpoints came and went. Guards peered through the window and waved us on. The liveried compartment between the two front seats, a refrigerator full of bottled water, became an internal oasis where we helped ourselves. At 1.5 hours, we crossed a river, returning slowly to settlements and sparse greenery. The sun had burnt my pale Scottish arm. Sulaymaniyah was in the distance. Angie and I nodded off, blotting out our sensory overload. Our arrival day was Sunday the 2nd of August, and Allegra was waiting for us at the Morocco Hotel. In the foyer, a hubbub of young musicians arriving from Baghdad and across the Kurdistan region of Iraq stood around, beaming wordlessly at each other. We handshook our introductions, and Allegra updated me that the rehearsal space of the Kurdish String Orchestra was not going to be given to us without an ever-increasing rent. We didn't have the budget to handle that nonsense. Also, not every one of their rooms had air conditioning, and this was unacceptable for musicians trying to keep their instruments from expanding and warping themselves out of tune in the killer heat. I explained the situation to Mohammed Karadagi, our government contact, who immediately granted us free access to Telleri Huna, or Palace of Arts in Kurdish, for the whole 2 weeks. This was exactly the gold we needed to make our course work. Mohammed, quiet and gentle, preferred to work behind the scenes. As Baram Saleh's right-hand man in Sulaymaniyah, his facilitation of the $50,000 donated by Saleh, our visa extensions and immediate access to Telleri Huna were local government in action, and it was impressive.